the Saturday Light Brigade. It's time, and I'm excited about the guests we have with us today. You think about robotics, and depending on your age, you might be thinking of Rosie from the Jetsons, or, you know, big boxy types of things. You might be thinking of the machines that make work possible in manufacturing. Maybe you're thinking of the device in a hospital that's either robotically mopping the floor or delivering lab samples. Robots are everywhere, as are sensors and electronics and the code required to make them work. And it requires people of incredible skill on of all different types of skills. And the Girls of Steel Robotics team is here. We're going to talk a little bit about how all of these skills are blended to succeed in developing a robot. And also, they brought a robot with us, which I can't wait to understand a little bit more about. Let's meet everybody who's here first. And Lynn, why don't we start with you, since you kind of arranged this. I really appreciate your calling. This is Lynn.
Hi.
And tell us a little bit about yourself. And
I am a senior in high school, and I go to PA Cyber, and this is my third year participating on the Girls of Steel, and my final year.
And Lynn was part of our Youth Expression Showcase with her sister a couple years ago, and she had called saying, you know, I'd love to talk about Girls of Steel. And I said, yeah. I would love to have you talk about it. Now, before we do that, have you thought about what you might want to do next after graduation?
Yes, I'm going to study mechanical engineering, and I'm currently still choosing which school I would like to attend, but I have applied to all the schools that I've wanted to, so now I'm just waiting for responses.
How many did you apply to?
I was kind of insane. I think I applied to 12.
Oh, my goodness. Are there? Can you name them all?
Let's see. I think I applied to Michigan Tech, Carnegie Mellon, Lehigh University, Stanford, Princeton, Akron University, the University of Pittsburgh, and I'm drawing a blank on all the rest.
It's hard.
Case Western. That's all I think I can remember. Yeah.
You know, I applied to 6, and it was a long time ago, but sometimes I have trouble remembering, and it shouldn't be that hard. Do you have a couple first choices among those?
I'd really like to go to Carnegie Mellon, and Case Western is also a very nice school. I'd love to go to Princeton and Stanford, but they have very low acceptance rates, so.
I can't remember if I applied to Case or not. That's bugging me. I did apply to Carnegie Mellon and chose to go there. I think my three engineering schools were Carnegie Mellon, Georgia Tech, and MIT. I remember now, and I ended up at Carnegie Mellon, and they've got a great mechanical engineering program.
Yes.
Do you want to say hello to or acknowledge anybody by name?
I would like to thank all of our mentors. I know a few of them are currently working right now. So hi, Dr. Cantor, Mr. Shreve, Mr. Young. Dr. Richards.
All right. They're all here. Is Dr. Richards here?
Yes. She is a lady over in the blue.
Ah, okay. And let's meet Molly next, who's your sister, and then we'll get to Clarissa. Hi, Molly.
All right. Hello. I go to the Winchester Thurston School, and I'm in the 10th grade, and this is my second year on the Girls of Steel.
And would you like to say hello to anybody, acknowledge anybody?
I'd like to say hello to my parents who are out there and my science teachers at my school. They have been very supportive of me learning engineering and robotics.
Terrific. I just noticed your sister has a green tint in her hair, by the way.
Yeah.
Is that part of this? You guys are otherwise matching. They have these sort of bluish gingham shirts on today. Is that just for today, or is that an official Girls of Steel look?
This is our uniform. Yeah. So we wear the blue plaid shirts to represent Carnegie Mellon, and we have the Rosie the Riveter bandanas, red and white polka dots.
Yeah, and I want to learn more. I see the Rosie the Riveter, and you actually have been working with somebody, I think, right? From what I looked at on your website, did you get to meet a woman that worked in factories?
We didn't get to meet her, but she's one of our inspirations because she was one of the original Rosie the Riveters. But we work with a lot of mentors that give us advice, and they come from different universities and different places just to help us, you know, compete in our competition.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, let's meet Clarissa, and then we'll talk to all three of you about what's going on. Hi, Clarissa.
Hi.
I see now the bandanas everybody's got. And where do you go to school?
I go to Yale School. I'm a sophomore there.
And would you like to say hello to anybody or acknowledge anyone?
Yeah. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
And I'm glad you said hi. And I meant to ask both Molly and you. We'll come back to Molly. Have you thought about life after high school yet? A little early yet?
Yeah, it's a little early, but I have definitely. Yeah. Definitely want to go to school for STEM. I'm thinking computer science, but I don't know yet.
Excellent. And that's science, technology, engineering, or math. And mm-hmm. Molly, what do you think?
I'm hoping to go into the mechanical engineering, robotic engineering fields as well. So I'm sort of inspired by all the mechanical work. The power tools are part of my favorites.
So let's talk about Girls of Steel. First, mm-hmm. at a very macro level, if you will, just why does Girls of Steel exist and what is it? Without even mm-hmm. getting into the specifics of what the work you've done, mm-hmm. What's its purpose?
Our team was founded by two of our mentors, Patty Rote and Dr. George Cantor, and they came out with the idea of having an all-girls team. And I think the main goal is inspiring girls to become more involved with STEM and to know that they can be engineers as well. And we are a team that's within a big league called FIRST, and their main goal is to inspire young students to go into STEM fields. So we're just making our goal to inspire young girls, high school girls, to go into this big field of STEM.
And my understanding is a lot of studies show that when girls get to be a little younger mm-hmm. than each of you is now, that sometimes, although they love science, technology, engineering, and math, mm-hmm. that for whatever reason they may turn away from those subjects. Have you observed that at all among your peers?
I have a little bit, but maybe not as much as some others. But because I'm on the team, I see so many young females that are wanting to go into this field of STEM. Have any of you?
Yeah, I've experienced it at one of my old schools. Math and science wasn't really for girls, and when I was really interested when I was younger, there were some boys telling me, like, you couldn't do that, but ever since I switched schools, yeah, wow. My school now is very supportive of it.
It's amazing. You would think that some of those gender stereotypes are gone, mm-hmm. but
yeah.
There's still, even though it might be an underlying or almost hidden thought, you know, mm-hmm. You can't know anything technical, you don't code. They're still very male-dominated fields sometimes. Mm-hmm. So that sounds like it's one thing that Girls of Steel does.
Yes.
Is gives you some impetus and also just a great point to collect and work mm-hmm. with one another. So what do you all do? You've got a robot here that I'm really curious to understand, mm-hmm. but I guess how did so much had to happen before you got to that point? So
yes.
Can you sort of break it down so we could understand? Mm-hmm. I have no idea what a robotics team does.
So what we do is we under FIRST, we are FRC, which is FIRST Robotics Competition, and that's for high school students. It's one of the oldest and most elite robotics competition within FIRST. So it starts off with kickoff, which is actually January 4th of
next weekend, right?
Yes.
And that's all over the country, right?
All over the world, actually. Yeah. It streams live from NASA Robotics website. So all the teams find out what the game is. It's been hidden all summer, and we finally know what the challenge is. So then we go into something called build season, which is like 6 weeks of nonstop building this robot. And you think of like the designs, you think of how to make it. So within these 6 weeks, we design the robot, then we 3D model it, and then we start fabricating it, which includes a lot of like cutting metal, a lot of welding, which Molly is a big part of. And then we go into putting electronics, which is what Clarissa usually does. She did that last year, but this year it's different. And then we go into programming, which happens all season, but it's really important the last 2 weeks where they do lots of their testing. And then at the end of those weeks, there's a little break, but then it's competition season and we go to different regionals and we compete. And then if we qualify, we go to the World Championships, which is in St. Louis this year. And we meet hundreds of teams from all over the world. And it's really exciting, all of these competitions, the events. It's just a really, this half of the year is probably my favorite time of the year because I get to do all of this work on robotics and just get to meet a ton of other students that like the same things I do.
So the challenge, what was last year's challenge?
Last year's challenge was we had to make a robot that climbed a pyramid that was made out of different, that was made out of rods. So it was sort of like a jungle gym. And then we also had to shoot frisbees into three separate goals. So it was sort of a mixed challenge, which they do every year. So you have the big game, then you also have a smaller mini challenge inside of it.
But the same robot you design has to be able to do both of those things in the case of last year's. So it's come up with something that can climb up a pyramid of a certain height with bars fabricated in a certain way. So you've got weight and strength considerations, and then you've got dexterity to make that climb. And also to throw the frisbees. And what's got to be really cool is you're working on this and hundreds of other teams are trying to solve the same puzzle. And you get to see how others have approached it.
Yes.
And that's got to be fascinating. And Clarissa, do you want to share any thoughts about that?
Yeah, that was cool. My favorite part was last year going to competitions, Pittsburgh Regional World Champs. It was seeing all those different robots, seeing different strategies from people. There's just so many things you could do with it.
We shot frisbees, but I think one team like tossed four at the same time into the goal.
Yeah.
We thought it wasn't possible, but it worked really well, actually.
Well, and I now remember at the Mini Maker Fair that we had here at the museum, your frisbee shooting robot was here. Is this it?
Yeah, this
I didn't get a chance to see it. I was tethered to the radio studio. can you explain? We should maybe we'll take a picture of that and try to post it up on our Facebook page, but how... can you walk me through what it does?
Yes. So if you look from the top, the chassis, which is the part that moves, looks like a heart. And so this means that it only has three wheels, two on each side and then one in the back. And this allows it to go forward, backwards, and it can turn, but it also can drift to the right and drift to the left. And then above that, we have a bunch of electronics and pneumatics, which is air-powered systems. And then we have the shooter, which is angled so that it can go into the goals. And basically what it does is it goes into what we call our feeder, which is basically a bucket attached to the shooter. And they go in, and this little handle pushes it out, and it goes by a wheel on this curved plane and just shoots straight out. And then when I mentioned the heart, you know, the little part where it looks like a triangle on the top, there's two poles coming out of it, and it has a chain system with hooks, and that's our climbing system. So we'd get on the corner of the pyramid and we'd tip over and we'd grab it on with our little hooks and we'd pull ourselves up. And so that was our climbing system. And that's pretty much the entire robot.
I'm trying to think of ways to break this down to be sure that a radio audience can see it. I see a chain, almost kind of like a bicycle chain, a little thicker that's... It must be part of the drive as the chain is hooked up to a motor.
Yes.
I see what looks like a camera.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
The camera is a tracking system that our programmers coded. And what it does is it looks at the rings around the goals, which are reflective tape, and it shoots a little light at it, and it can process back that information through the camera and tell the human players that humans that control it and tell you, oh, you're not close enough, or this is, or you're not angled enough. And it can tell our girls that are driving it, you know, what to do in a match.
And then the frisbees, it took me a minute to figure this out. It almost looks like a 10-gallon plastic pail that has had its bottom cut off. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. And it looks like a... I think I even know what store it came from. It's bright orange. And the frisbees are kind of stacked within it. How do they get dispensed?
Well, There is, as Lynn mentioned earlier, there's like a little pusher at the bottom. We had made a cutout out of the bucket. It was sort of like a last minute sort of thing. The other one wasn't working quite as well, so we decided to go with this one. And so what it does is there's a feeder station on the field. So connected to the bucket, there are two little metal triangles, which we can slide into the robot so the Frisbees get placed on. So once the Frisbees get loaded, we can drive up near the goal where it's a good place to shoot, and we can shoot them using the little system we have that Lynn explained earlier.
Interesting. Now, how is this powered? Is it batteries? Or
yeah.
Okay, that had to be, I don't know if that was part of the spec or mm-hmm. not, but that had to be kind of interesting. It's really cool looking, too. How much does it weigh?
About 120.
You're kidding.
Yeah, oh. Something like that.
So, wait, it, like the weight of, a person, a small person. And it's about, if you pictured, like a 55-gallon drum or garbage can. It's a little bigger than that, but mm-hmm. but not by much. It could not that we want to put you in. how do you transport it? Just like that?
Yeah. We usually put it at the back of Dr. Richard's car, which is made with a plywood, and it has little areas where you can strap in the robot. That's how we carry this robot, but some of our other robots have to be disassembled and then reassembled.
Now, let's talk about some of the nuts and bolts and just the disciplines of both study as well as work you need to do with your hands to make it actually happen. We can do that in whatever order you'd like, mm-hmm. but because I suspect that, I mean, Molly, you welded, right?
Yeah.
With like a mask and a torch and everything?
We do TIG welding. So we TIG weld aluminum. So last year it was me and another girl, and there was another girl who was telling us, what are we going to do? What are the steps to take it? So each meeting we would go through and do a little bit at a time to finally create this thing that could be put to the next process, which is fabricating all of the different pieces on top of it. So creating the gearboxes, attaching them to the bottom part, which moves.
Wow. And who can tell me a little bit about some of the other disciplines and some of the things? Here comes Clarissa.
So last year I was on electronics. So basically we did all of the bottom of the robot. But this year I'm on programming, which is like getting the robot to do what it actually needs to do, moving around and so, and all those commands.
And how do you do that?
We use Java. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we literally code the robot.
Okay. And Java, most of us know it from a user's standpoint, but are you writing specific lines of code in a sort of a encoding language mm-hmm. that's interesting? And then where does the code go? Is there memory within the computer in the robot?
Yes, there's an electronic part where the code is downloaded into, and then it can use, it just uses straight from that little electronics part all around the robot.
Mm-hmm. Cool. What are some of the other physical things that need to get done? Welding, mm-hmm. but there's other fabrication aspects, I would imagine.
Yes, there's a lot of riveting, a lot of just nuts and bolts, and then there's sometimes other parts like around our shooter, there's a rubber, so we had to use glue and tape to get it to stick. There's sometimes, depending on what the challenge is, there's sometimes different things that need to be done. I think last year we had something called a turret, and that was something we'd never done before, and it just turns around, but it was made out of a plastic, so we had to deal with plastics that year. So it kind of depends on year to year, but that year we had a lot of riveting and a lot of just nuts and bolts and plastics that needed to be cut, put together. You can't weld plastic, so we had to cut that and glue it.
How many girls are involved on your team, roughly?
Currently, there's 36.
Wow.
Yes.
And the sophomores, juniors, seniors.
And freshmen.
And freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing I'm hearing is kind of this, and it reminds me of Carnegie Mellon and buggy teams. There's sort of this heritage of you know, passing down skills from woman to woman, from your mentors and then to each of you. Mm-hmm. Now, are there boys teams as well?
Yes, there's actually a lot of boys teams. We are only one out of six girls teams worldwide. Of all girls teams.
Yes,
but there are all boys team and there's also co-ed teams. We just happen to be an all girls team.
That's incredible to think that there are only six all girl teams. Mm-hmm. Not that they necessarily should be gender specific, but there are enough schools. Are most teams based with a particular school?
Mm-hmm.
And you're a little unusual in that you've got multiple schools involved. And I think Sarah Hineshouse had teams in the past. I don't know if they still do.
They currently still do.
Yeah, they've been very strong in robotics, and they probably have kids from different schools as well.
Yes.
You would think there would be enough girls' schools throughout the world that there would be some additional all-girls teams.
Yes. I think there's girls' teams, there's girls' teams and boys' teams in co-ed. But yeah, I'm kind of surprised there's not more because there's, I think, over 4,000 teams worldwide. And I mean, just in the Pittsburgh area, there's about 17 in the greater Pittsburgh area and 27 in Western PA. So there's a lot of teams.
Well, we've really flown by here. How can people follow your progress and consider maybe making a donation? Or perhaps there are some professionals here that would like to serve as mentors or donate materials. What's the best way to do that, Clarissa?
So we got everything. We have our Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. But best way to reach us is probably a better website.
Mm-hmm. Girlsofsteelrobotics.com.
Girlsofsteelrobotics.com. Mm-hmm. That's easy enough. And let me ask each of you if there's, and no need to rush here, but is there anything else you'd like to say that we haven't talked about? And Molly, I'm going to start with you.
I'd like to thank everyone who's put a lot of their hard work into helping us reach our goals, helping us learn more, and thank you to all the other girls on the team who's inspired other younger ones like me and have taught us, not as much as the mentors have been, but they've inspired us to learn more and sort of showing that how much fun and enjoyment they have had, then it sort of brings us to realize, hey, we can also do this if they can do this as well.
Excellent. And anything, Lynn, that you'd like to add?
If you'd like to see Kickoff, which is a really big event for all of these teams, do check out NASA NASA Robotics website. They will stream it live January 4th around 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a really the live stream has a ton of great speakers, and you get to hear from other teams and the really good just people that are really interested in this. So do check it out if you want to learn more.
Thank you, Lynn and Clarissa.
I would just like to thank everyone in the Girls of Steel community, mentors, sponsors, especially upperclassmen who have taught me, like Lynn.
Well, it's wonderful to see this. Please keep in touch.
Yes.
Let us know, not only with the Girls of Steel Robotics and your next first competition, but let us know how you're each doing as you move on in school. I was really so happy, Lynn, when you called to let me know about this. Lynn and Molly, and that's one last question is, let's talk about the other dimensions of your lives really quickly. You two are both musical. What do you play again, Lynn?
I play piano.
And Molly?
I used to play the violin.
Okay, not so much anymore, but
It got a little too busy with the hectic schedule from school to robotics.
Yeah. Clarissa, do you have other passions?
Yeah, I also play the violin.
So you're all musical, and any other shared interests or unusual interests?
I think we're all Peruvian.
Yeah, we're all Peruvian.
We're all Peruvian.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I did not know that. I don't know why I would wonder about that, but that's that's kind of neat that that happened. What part of Peru?
I think our father's from Lima.
Yeah.
Lima?
Yeah, my dad's from Lima. My mom's from Chimbote.
Oh, that's great. Do you have a sense of how many people from Peru are in the Pittsburgh area?
Not many.
I know of my family has a lot of family friends here, so we see around 15 to 20 people from Peru currently. I'm not 100% sure how many are here, but I think we know at least 15.
Yeah, there's, it's growing, but it's still not as much as some other ethnicities.
Well, I'm so glad that you're all here today. And we'll have a chance if your parents want to come in and take some pictures. And I think there's some people outside that are really curious about seeing the robot, too. Thank you for being with us. And
Thank you for having me. Girls of Steel Robotics.com
mm-hmm. is how you can learn more. And thanks to Clarissa, Lynn, and Molly, it's 10:33 at the Saturday Light Brigade.